Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
And once again, this is Eric Dye, and thanks for joining us once again here on Enterprise Radio, your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who are having great success today. We are once again joined by Mr. Peter Rex, an entrepreneur, philanthropist, and thought leader who built a billion-dollar investment business from scratch in less than 7 years and now runs a technology company based in beautiful Seattle, Washington. And on this episode, it's just a reminder to do not forget to enjoy all of life. Mr. Rex, a pleasure to have you back with us here on Enterprise Radio.
Eric, great to be here. Can't wait to engage with the audience, and hopefully I can be a source of some advice or motivation or something, you know?
Well, I have no doubt that you will, and you certainly have brought a lot of value to the programming here over the last few months. So for starters today, you've talked about sacrifice and hard work, but you also believe in living abundantly. Why do you think that balance is critical for entrepreneurs? Let's start there today.
Yeah, I mean, in fact, Eric, I don't really believe in balance. For all those listeners out there, I don't really like that word. I've always, some people talk about work-life balance. And I've noticed throughout time, as I have a lot of heuristics, some of them I've written down, some of them just kind of pop out of my head. Heuristics meaning rules of thumb that I use. One of my rules of thumb is if someone says to me that they're interested in a work-life balance, or they ask a lot of, if they ask me about that and they're interviewing or whatever, generally, I'm not going to work with that person because I think that their mentality is already wrong. I mean, they should be more asking, like, how can they get it done? How can they move forward? How can they further their agenda? But let me get into why, because some people out there might be kind of almost like angry about that. Like, how can you not believe in work-life balance? But let me explain. I think that generally people that are into work-life balance as a phrase, they generally are not enjoying work enough, and their life is not enjoyable enough either. So I would challenge the listeners to really focus on harmony. I call it harmony. It's actually a virtue on our website. But in my life, I have – and to hard prioritize what really matters. And but what really matters are things that are relational, things about your health, your body, your relationship to God, family, friends, all this other stuff, infinitely more important than your work and needs to be prioritized more and integrated in with you. And then your work needs to be integrated in with that. And then I think what you'll find – is instead of having a balance, you're gonna have work that's a lot better, and your life in general is gonna be a lot better. It's gonna be more fun. So, and I can get into some of that. And I'll just jump right into some examples of that. I have 9 priorities that I keep, and I have them sets of 3. It's God, spouse, kids. The next 3 are, so I keep those God, spouse, kids. Those are my first 3 priorities in life. They come before work. My next 3 priorities are my friends and friends/family, intellectual life, and my health. Those are also coming in before work as well. The last 3 are my vision, which is sort of my mentality my attitude towards things. Money, which is the finance, how am I handling goods of the world, resources, not just and financial stuff as well, both for my family and those who depend on me, and for those who maybe depend on me for charity. And the last is play. I call it, so the last is play. And why is play above work? Well, because life is short and you're only going to be here a little bit, and you really need to make sure you're enjoying it and you're having as much fun as possible. And I think play keeps a certain levity about things. In the end of the day, if we all know that we're going to die, and currently it all looks like we're gonna, as far as I can tell, then I think what we need to do is see kind of the fleeting nature of everything. And if you see, and yet at the same time, there's an internal meaning to everything at the same time. So there's both paradoxically sort of contradictory. It's sort of contradictory, but there's sort of an internal meaning to things, yet a fleeting nature. And I think the required attitude towards that is an attitude of play, to enjoy what you're doing and have fun, because there is sort of, at the one hand, it's extremely serious, at the other hand, it's not really serious. And there's other things more serious about what you're doing than your actual work, right? So I don't want to get too carried away with that, but just in general, play is very important. And that might come across as a little bit surprising to people, that someone who's extremely hardcore about his business and working like crazy is prioritizing play over that. But that's what I do. So
Well, certainly a great way to lead things off here today, getting us jazzed up for today's conversation. Tell us, Peter, do you have any tips on how to live abundantly while also working hard?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's three things I would sort of pillars I would flag to the audience here of ways you can think about that. I tend to be, in general, a pretty systematic thinker, maybe. I think compared to other people, maybe that's from my background. My background's not in business, so I came at this from a liberal arts background. And so I sort of came at it with a total ignorance of business. And this might have helped me to kind of think things through a little bit and question why are certain things, how would I do this, how do I systematize it? I don't know, or maybe I'm just systematic by nature, but I would say there's sort of three things you could kind of cling on to three pillars you can kind of go by. And one is to celebrate. That means like set up goals, hit them, and then celebrate. The other one is along the way. It's sort of like in your journey, make sure you're having a good time. Make sure you're really relishing everything. And the last is to rest. And that might be a surprise, like rest, how is that part of being an entrepreneur? How is that going to make you more successful? Well, it recharges you. And let me jump into those three things. I'll start with the top, with is to celebrate. I always set up 30-day do-or-die goals. It's sort of, you know, to get after it. We also have a longer-term 18-month blitz goal as well. But our 30-day do-or-die goal is sort of, you have to do this or you're going to die. No, you're not going to die. But, you know, it's to convey the sort of seriousness of holding yourself accountable, that you have to do something in 30 days. And within 30 days, you could figure out more or less what's possible to be done. And this might be a little bit clunky. It might be kind of like, I need to, depending on what you're doing, say if you're developing a software product or you're building a building, whatever it is, you know, whatever you might be doing, or you want to get into business, right? Say you want to get into business. Let's just do that one, right? You've got to set up a goal. Now, you know, you got to do a lot of stuff, right? You got to raise money. You got to learn a bunch of stuff. You got to get a mentor. You got to get some networks going. You've got to engage with potential contractors to do certain types of work. All those things, everybody needs to do all those, right? But to do them all at once and to try to get it all done in 30 days, not going to happen. But that's what you need to do in general, right? So then what I would say is what you need to do is set up 30 days. And in 30 days, what can you do? Maybe you can have 10 meetings with contractors. You could read 4 books. You could have 10 meetings with potential investment partners. And you could try to meet with 4 different mentors, or you try to reach out to become, you know, get a mentor from them, right? So I'm saying if you're just starting a business, right? That is all in your control, and you can do that within 30 days. You can accomplish all those things in 30 days. It's not going to be easy. You got to get after it hard, but this is a way that you can hold yourself accountable. And then in 30 days, you see, did you hit those or not on your do or die goals? And if you did, what I'm saying here is you got to celebrate. You have to set up a celebration in advance that you're going to really enjoy it, and you're going to relish that moment. You're going to get your friends or other people that care about you, or partners in business or whatever it might be, or you just do it on your own. You just make sure you do something that you really enjoy to relish that moment. And this will make it better for you, where you'd say, well, how's that make you more successful? Well, it's going to make you want to hit it even harder, right? And then on top of that, you're going to know in your brain, like, there's a reward for when you hit that do or die goal. And the next time you set one up, you're going to chase even harder. And it's a good cadence too, to sort of have this partying afterwards. And this relishing and the celebration, it also prevents you from becoming like very dull, right? When I was younger, my grandma used to say to us, all work, no play makes Jack a dull boy. It's kind of an old school saying, right? But I think it's true, right? You got to make sure you stop and celebrate. Otherwise, you're going to become like a robot or something, and just somebody that nobody even wants to be around. Even in business, you're not going to have that zest to life anymore. So I'll give you an example of a celebration we did. When I was first building out my first company, I'd set up a goal to get 1,000 apartments. We were going to buy over 1,000 apartments and get them under management, do a bunch of stuff, right? And when I did that, a lot of people actually laughed at it. I would meet with them. They would just think, this guy's an idiot. He's crazy. It's not going to happen. Plus, you know, at the time, I didn't even have a car. I'm like completely broke, whatever. But I said, you know, we got to do this. Anyways, we ended up doing it. Long story short, it wasn't easy. It wasn't clear how we, you know, at first how we'd achieve it, but we just through grit and determination pulled it off. But when we did, I got everybody in the company together in the morning at 8 a.m. I had them all come to the office, meet with me, and they were kind of like, what the heck's going on here? And I got a bunch of cigars for everybody, and I got a bunch of liquor, which is kind of 8 a.m. liquor. I mean, it sounds nuts. We got a bunch of like Jack Daniels and a bunch of other stuff. And then behind the scenes with some assistants, we poured all that stuff into like little little cups for a shot glass. And then we handed it all out to everybody, and people didn't know what the heck was going on. And then when they got all the little shot glasses, I said, listen, guys, I have a very important announcement. You know, we hit over 1,000 apartments. And, you know, a lot of people said we weren't going to do this, but we did it. We pulled it off as a team, and we're going to do a shot right now to celebrate. And then we're going to have some cigars. And then everybody was like, what the heck? And we had a great time. And the whole morning, everybody just hung out and just kind of bonded and just relished that moment. But this is just an example of celebration and how it kind of bonds a team together. It gets people pumped. You set up ambitious goals, you hit them, and then you celebrate.
Celebrating is certainly important. I've learned that, and I like that approach, and I'm glad that you brought that up as well. How has traveling and experiencing other cultures influenced how you think about life and the businesses that you operate?
Yeah, absolutely. I think traveling is, and what I was going to say, the second thing I'd recommend is along the way, right? And this can tie into traveling. When I went across different countries, right, as I was developing the plan for Trustwork, I hit 85 countries. And because I wanted to develop ground up how to build this platform and this technology company. So in order to do that, I had to go to those countries. But when I went to all these countries, I made sure that along the way, I enjoyed things with my family as well, with my wife. So, and we do things like adventure things as well, things that could get you really almost shock your mind into a different state of thinking and take you out of yourself, and which then when you come back, you sort of see things differently, which causes you to be more creative. So I think traveling, seeing new things, just does this. I'll give you an example. When I was in Rwanda in Africa, I went to maybe 9 countries or something in Africa. When I was in Rwanda, which by the way is actually a very stable country now, and Paul Kagame has done a wonderful job there, Paul Kagame the leader, in really stabilizing that country and bringing peace to it. And the people there love Paul Kagame, the people on the ground. And he's the president now. But he gets a bit of a bad reputation in the news, but he's doing a great job. But when I was there in Rwanda, I had a lot of business meetings. But I had some free time, and I told my wife, you know, I heard about this trek deep into the jungle where we can trek out deep with a guide, local guide, deep into the jungle where there are silverback gorillas, and you can go to where the family is located. It takes a while to get there. It's about an hour and a half trekking through with machetes, cutting through the thick jungle. So I was able to convince my wife to go. She was very, very, very skeptical of this idea, but I had checked into it, and I had found out that it's actually not dangerous. It seems like it is, but it's not. And I mean, there's some danger involved, but it's not too bad. And the people carry some weapons, the locals, to help you in case there is a problem, right? So, but as we trekked out deep into the jungle, and we ended up encountering a family of silverback gorillas that had silverback gorillas in it, and it was an amazing experience. So for an hour, we spent time with the silverbacks, and I had never had. I mean, I'm a nature person. I love going out in nature. I love seeing new things. I'd never experienced anything so intense. I actually had a silverback, full-blown silverback, come charging at me, and he and they're just playing, actually. But you don't realize this thing is huge. It could rip my head off, like charge straight at me and stop right in my face, and just like staring right at me, like a few inches from my nose. I mean, it was very intense. My wife was completely freaking out. So, needless to say, haven't been able to. I didn't have as much success when I was in South Africa jumping in with the great white sharks to get her to come with me for that one. She was not having it, but I did it anyways. But anyway, so that's an example of along the way. You know, I'm in Rwanda. I've got a bunch of meetings. I'm slamming. I probably had like, you know, 8-10 meetings. Having all these meetings, trying to figure out how to set up business in Rwanda. In the meantime, I hear about this amazing trek that's one of a kind. And I say, we're going to do it. So I leave it like 4 a.m., 5 a.m. in the morning, and we took a car deep into Rwanda and then jumped out, and then from there trekked deep into the jungle with machetes and stuff. And the guys that were with us were like cutting up the stuff so we can get through. But this type of experience, I mean, I encourage listeners out there to just do stuff that's kind of a little bit crazy. And you might think, well, I'm working so much, you know, I can't do something like that. Well, listen, I mean, use that same energy and you'll find more energy if you deploy it into something like an adventure. You'll find you'll actually be able to even work more. So don't feel like it's a zero-sum game there. It's not. It's plus-plus. Like you do something like that, boom, you actually end up with more creativity, and you get more energy. It energizes you.
I'm with you, and we are on the same page, no doubt about that, in regards to traveling and being refreshed and ready to knock it out. Certainly to operate your businesses more refreshed and ready to take at it. Today, we're joined by Peter Rex, an entrepreneur, philanthropist, and thought leader who built a $1 billion investment business from scratch in less than 7 years and now runs a technology company based in Seattle here on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN. The Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, continuing on, Peter, how often do you refresh your body and mind, and what are your go-to tricks to do so?
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, as I mentioned, I mean, I generally keep up about an 80-plus hour work week, and I like to come at it really intensely. I don't like to, you know, dilly-dally too much even during that time because it's my passion. It's what I work on. But the reality is that type of pace, you're not going to be as creative if you don't step back and relax. You're going to be a slave to your work. You don't want to be a workaholic, right? I mean, a workaholic ends up destroying his relationships. So I think you've got to have, for me, I take one day off a week. So I take off, you know, Sunday for me is totally off. And I do not do any business on Sunday. I have not done business on Sunday for like 7 years, which might seem kind of crazy actually. But my first 6 years or so in business, I actually worked 7 days a week, never took a day off, didn't even take off Christmas. Stupid move. But I just didn't know any better. And I didn't think that I could afford to take a day off because I didn't have any money. And I was, you know, having a lot of problems in business. And, you know, when you're starting off, it's always a slog. It still is always a slog, right? But I didn't take any time off. I remember just Christmas, I'd go celebrate really quickly and then boom, go back and just like start slamming through work again. And this is not as good. If you take a day off and you hit refresh for that day and you don't do any business, when you come back on the next day, whatever day that might be, say it's Monday, for me, it's Monday, I come back on Monday. Well, boom, I'm like, you know, my mind is kind of refreshed. And some of the things I do on Sunday is first thing I do is I sleep in on Sunday. I don't try to wake myself up. I just try to sleep on my natural sleeping. I also make sure I get to a worship service, a Sunday worship service, which would be, for me, I'm a Christian, I'm Catholic actually. So I go to mass and I do that with my family. I try to do it with my family. If my family's not able to go with me for some reason, they go on their own and I go on my own, but we make sure we do it. Why would I do that? Don't I lose money by doing that? I mean, I'm not making money when I'm there. I don't, because I'm putting things in order in the way they should be ordered. And I'm also uniting with a bunch of people. And now we're like the same for that moment. We're like united as we bow down and we worship together, right? And this is such a refresh for the soul. It's like, you know, income, it doesn't matter your income levels, doesn't matter your race, ethnicity, doesn't matter like where you're from, doesn't matter who you are. Like in that moment when you're at church, you're just boom, you're all the same, man. You're all before God and you humble yourself, right? And this, and also you connect together in like this oneness. And this is a refreshing thing. So that's a practice I do. The other thing I do is on that day, I tend to read. I'll read, or I also go on hikes as well. I also do an adventure with my son. My son's he's four. So we go out on an adventure. I call it the adventure with dad. But last Sunday, I put him on a bike behind me, like on one of those carriers, and we biked out for a while. And he was loving it. And we went out and I stopped by like an ice cream place and stuff like that, got him some things. So, and then biked back. So, and I'll do other types of adventures with him. I brought him on a kayak, or I'll just throw a kayak on top of my car, go out to a lake, throw it in the lake, bring him out. So this type of stuff helps to kind of, and then on the reading side, I'll read something like literature, like a great piece of art great work of literature that is amazing. Like, for example, in the last year I read Gulag Archipelago, which is a 2000 plus book, 2000 page plus book by Solzhenitsyn, but it explains so much about the Russian, the communist system and the Siberian camps. And it was an amazing read that completely takes you out of yourself and gets your mind off. You cannot keep your mind on business if you're reading that book, right? It's a total refresh, because although it's disturbing, a lot of the stuff you're reading, but it's also educating you about human nature. And these practices, they might seem like, oh, you know, Peter Rex is wasting his time. You know, he's reading that book on Sunday or whatever he's doing, right? It's not the case. Like, what ends up happening is, and I kind of used to think that was the case. That's why I didn't do that. I just kept working and working. But if you take a day off like that, you just get recharged. And then you also come at it and you kind of understand people better. Like when I was in Moscow and I actually went to Siberia as well in person, I just felt more of an empathy with the people. I felt like I understood kind of what they went through. And they suffered a tremendous amount, the people there under that system. And but I wouldn't have had that feeling of connectedness if I hadn't read that work of art, that work of literature, right? So, and then that may down the road actually open up doors for me in business. So I think in the net, this stuff is not zero sum. Like it's going to be, it'll be additive. It makes you more human. It makes you more full, taking that break period, right? And then every day, actually, what I do in the mornings, and this might be helpful for some of the listeners, so I'll get into my morning routine a little bit because I think some people are curious about how does an entrepreneur that's very intense also keep fresh every day, right? Every morning when I get up, I pray on my knees for 30 minutes, and I have that in total silence. I also read a little scripture as well to kind of fill my soul. And then I work out really intensely for like 15 minutes, and then I take a cold shower. And why a cold shower? Well, it wakes you up. That's a good thing. But also it kind of disciplines you a little bit where you don't get soft, you know? Because, you know, when you get wealthy or whatever, you get, you know, you start getting a lot of stuff. Or just in general in America, we're all so wealthy here. You can just get soft. And so I take a cold shower, and then I start my day with my family, though. So that next hour is family time. And I invite friends as well. Because I include friends in my definition of family, really, it's like sort of extended family. I'll include like a friend sometimes. I'll invite for family breakfast with us, and we'll have coffee, we'll relax, have eggs, bacon, whatever. And during that time, we'll sing a praise and worship song together. We'll read some scripture together. We talk, laugh, whatever. And then after that, I start my day, and I'll work for about 14 hours straight.
Certainly do appreciate your sharing your personal routine with us. That means a whole lot, and I really appreciate your going there. Now, lastly, how do you instill this ideology in the culture of your businesses? Let's wrap things up today with that.
I think that the most important thing you can do is live it out by example, because for some reason, people will stop listening to your words and just pay attention to what you do anyways, right? The second thing you can do is say it in your words, because, you know, words do mean something. They are important. And express the meaning of what you stand for and what your business stands for. And make sure that those who are aligned with you are actually aligned with you. Because if you don't express what you're doing and what your mission is, what your values are, like where your virtues are in the company, what are you striving for? If you don't express that very clearly and crisply, and I'd say write it down. Because if you don't write it down and you can't write it down and write it in a way that other people understand it, then they're not going to get on the same page with you. If they're not on the same page with you and you're out there, you know, getting after things every day with them, then are you really actually working on the same stuff, or are you kind of having mission misalignment where you kind of have like vision blur, like no one's really knows what the hell they're doing. They're kind of like one guy's working on this, the other guy's working on that. And then before you know it, your eye's off the ball, you're working on something else. You come back, you find out your business partner's been working on something that's just totally different because he really didn't understand to begin with what you guys were doing. So I think, you know, live it out, live out your values, live out your virtues, and then people are going to see that. They're going to listen to that first, right? And that's going to be the most powerful thing. The second thing is say it and write it down too. And then I think those are the two things I'd say.
Always good stuff. And Peter, certainly has been a pleasure to have had you on these series of interviews with us here on Enterprise Radio. Really appreciate the time and all the information shared once again here on this program. If listeners wanted to be in touch with you or get more information on your company, Trustwork, where is the best place they could connect and also get more information?
Trustwork is going to be the biggest platform in the world. It's a platform of entrepreneurship, and it's about empowering people to rise up and live abundantly. We need as much help as we can get. So if we have listeners out there that want to get more involved in business, want to be an entrepreneur themselves, they already are an entrepreneur. And I know we have tons of listeners. Almost everyone that wants to be an entrepreneur or is an entrepreneur and is going to be or will be one very soon, then get a part of Trustwork, become a fan, jump on there and create a profile. And I challenge you to get on there if you're in Florida and Texas, especially because we have a lot of activity already there, and post something you want to get done. And let's see what happens. Like, we'll try to get that thing done for you, or someone else is going to bid on it and get it done. So support us at Trustwork, become a fan, get behind Trustwork some way or another. We need the help as much as we can get, because we're not just trying to empower people in the U.S. only. We're trying to empower people everywhere in the world. And follow me at Peter Rex on Twitter, at Peter Rex.
And that certainly works. Again, Mr. Rex, all the best. And thanks so much for spending a moment once again here on Enterprise Radio. Certainly wish you all the best and look forward to another conversation in the future.
Thank you, Eric. I appreciate it.
Once again, we've been speaking with Peter Rex, an entrepreneur, philanthropist, and thought leader who built a billion-dollar investment business from scratch in less than 7 years and now runs a technology company based in Seattle, Washington. And for further details, visit trustwork.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune in to our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.